before I preach this tonight. Amen. That's good. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 24? If you'd like to stand with me tonight as we open the book. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 1. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now turn to Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. In Luke chapter number 21, verse 25, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Verse 25, the word perplexity means they cannot figure it out. They're perplexed. They can't match it. They can't categorize it. They can't dissect it. They cannot figure it out. Father, bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Tonight I want to give you just a few things that are happening at this very moment while you're listening to me. When George W. Bush, or when George Herbert Walker Bush was the president of the United States back in the early 90s, he gave a speech in which he used the term New World Order. Now that might have been a code term or a coded term to set in motion certain things. There is mounting evidence that in 1991, the elements were put into order to bring about what you're seeing happening right now in the Arab world. It's been a matter of 2 decades to bring to pass what's happening in the Arab world. There is definite proof that foreign agents have infiltrated every last Arab country and is the cause-effect behind what's going on. They are the organizers of it and the ones who push it and bring it into being. And then, of course, the crowd in the Arab street just falls into line because they are so sick and tired of the kind of lives that they've been living. So the unrest in the Middle East is orchestrated. It is orchestrated by powers outside of the Arab countries, and it has a goal in mind. The New World Order in 1991 intended for this to happen. It's happening right now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday or tomorrow or a month from now. Now it's happening in the Middle East. As a matter of fact, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, I was told outside in the foyer before I came in tonight, I didn't hear the speech, but I will look it up and listen to it, said no more than 2 or 3 days ago to the nation of Israel that they stand alone against the world. Now, my friend, I want you to take that into your heart and consider what this man said. Consider the fact that by making a statement that they stand alone, that says that there is an imminent threat of danger. And not only is there an imminent threat of danger, but that this threat of danger appears to be that Israel, or the Jew, once again has become the pariah of all the world. At the least, they're outnumbered 100-1. Imagine if you live in the United States and you were being threatened by a foreign power that outnumbered you 100-1, and they had the capacity, the ability to land troops on our western coast and on our eastern coast, and then come from the north and from the south. And these are all real fears of Israel. So the bottom line is that we are standing on the precipice of a very real war. In terms that has been used before, the winds of war are blowing. The United States at present is engaged in 4 conflicts, and soon to be far more than that, on the foreign field. These conflicts are going to escalate into a 3rd world war. It has been said that it has already started. It did not start like any other world war has started, but it has started. And my friend, if this is true, and I believe it is, I believe that it precipitates the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This world has never known the type of conflagration that is about to come to pass. We are standing on the precipice of war, real war that will engulf this world. There are 3 major powers to contend: the New World Order, Russia, and China. Now I want you to keep that in mind. Do not rule out Russia. And do not rule out China. And the New World Order is being run by the elite. By those who are going to tell you when to get up and go to bed. They're going to tell you how much money to make. They're going to tell you what to believe in. They're going to tell you where you can go, when you can come and go. In plain words, they're going to become your Lord and Master. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They knew not till the flood came and took them all away. In a recent poll, they polled, I don't know how many Americans, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000. They asked them to name 1 Republican candidate for office of the presidency that would be running in 2012. Just 1. 80% of the dumbed down, ignorant Americans couldn't even name 1 possible Republican contender. They've got you where they want you. Can you imagine a country that can't even name who? I can name 5 right now. 5. And 2 or 3 other possible contenders. Yet the average American is interested in 1 thing: his paycheck, his sex, and his beer. That's all he cares about. They've got them where they want them. But you're not children of darkness. You're children of light. And that day should not overtake you. And that day's not going to overtake you. Because you've been warned, you know what's coming, and you know it's coming soon. It's as a matter of fact, they have increased their intensity. They intend to get this done quickly, and it is coming, folks. Get ready. It is coming. And by its coming, it will initiate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to talk to you about tonight is the rise in the price of a barrel of crude oil. I'm going to give you some facts. There are over 400 to 500 billion, that's 1,000 million. There are at least 400,000 million up to 500,000 million barrels of crude oil proven in reserve in the Bakken fields in Western America. The technology is present now to extract that oil from the shale that is in. 10 or 20, 30 years ago they couldn't do it, but now they can. The United States of America has over 100 years of proven reserves in coal. It's an energy source. It's there. The United States of America has a vast supply of natural gas, which is an energy source, which is right there. But are we using it? No. Why? Could it be that somebody intends to break the very economy of this country? How many of you can afford $8 a gallon for a gallon of gasoline? Can you afford $8 a gallon, 30-gallon tank? That's $240 to fill up your tank. 20-gallon tank, that's $160 to fill up your gas tank. That's unheard of. Yet they are driving the price of crude oil up. When you listen to the pundits on television, and they've been asking them time and time again, why is gasoline going so high? Some say market forces. Some say speculative investment. Some say this, some say that. But the bottom line is that there is a force, and that is called the New World Order, that is going to break the very economy of the United States. And when they do that, they'll make your dollar worthless. That's what they're headed for. Purpose of that is control. These are facts. All you have to do is get on the internet and check them out. And you will see that what I gave you about that Bakken oil reserve, what I told you about the natural gas reserves, what I told you about oil, about coal, all of these things are true. Yet here we are, dependent upon Arab nations and OPEC for our oil. My goodness gracious. It makes you want to take every last one of them in Congress and retire them somewhere and replace them for treachery to the American public, for not having enough foresight to see ahead and do what needs to be done to take care of this nation. I think the oil reserves in this country right now, the oil reserves that they have in reserve, in plain words, they are in storage, only last 2 or 3 months. And the nation is dry. No more oil. No more oil, folks. No more gasoline. No more gasoline, you can't get to your job. The trucks won't run on the highways. They can't carry the food. It would paralyze the nation to not be able to operate their automobiles, the big trucks and the rigs and everything else that is dependent upon oil. It's close, folks. They've got you in a stranglehold. The spiraling national debt, $14 trillion, they tell us, is what the national debt is. What's that? That's 14,000 billion. To put it in perspective, $1 trillion is $1,000 billion. Let me tell you how much $1 trillion is. One trillion. If at the time of Christ, you started spending $1 million a day, at the time of Christ, 2,000 years ago, you spent $1 million a day. For the last 2,000 years, you wouldn't touch $1 trillion. That's how much $1 trillion is. You just throw the word trillion around like it means nothing anymore. Yet this nation is in such debt that is unbelievable. Who do they owe? That's who you ought to ask yourself. Who do they owe? It's not all China. It's international bankers. They owe the money elite. The ones who pull the purse strings. The one who choked the very lifeblood out of your soul. Who did this to this country? Amen. Who is accountable for turning America over to international bankers and to Red China and places like that? Who is responsible for making this nation vulnerable? I was born September the 17th, 1946. I would have retired or been eligible for retirement this September. I'll turn 65. But they've added a year to my retirement. I have to be 66 now. And now you hear this constantly preached to you about entitlement, 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 as if it's a dirty word. I have been paying into Social Security for nearly 50 years. I got a Social Security card when I was 14 years old and started working for my uncle and mixing mud and carrying brick. I've been paying into Social Security for nearly half a century. Let me tell you what's happened. When they started Social Security, they had a Social Security trust fund. This trust fund was to take the money, put it in, let it draw interest, so that the people, when they reached retirement age, that they could draw out of that and pay them. What did our politicians do? What have they been doing for 50 years? Every time they had a pet project and they needed money, they needed cash, they reached into the Social Security Trust Fund and they pulled it out. In plain words, how many of these politicians will stand on the carpet and give an account for breaking Social Security over the past 50 years? What do you mean entitlement? What about you? Do you trust your government? You put your money in every week, you pay your bills, and they extract their taxes. What about it when you reach retirement age? If you can't trust them now, you can't trust them then. And if they'll turn on the people now that's been paying for 50 years, they'll turn on you. Amen. So you're mad, preacher, like you wouldn't believe. We are going through the worst recession since the Great Depression. Well, it's just the way the economy. No, it's had nothing to do with the economy. It has to do with a pre-programmed and a system that's set up to crash this economy. It has to do with a devaluation of the dollar bill. It has to do with bringing America to its knees and forcing it to become part. As George Soros said, America is standing in the way of the new world order. He made it plain. He said it. He came out and said it to people. Henry Kissinger said, we are working toward a new world order. Hopefully we can be able to bring it into being in the next 10, 20 years. He said that 10 years ago. The economy in this country crashed because it was designed to crash. The crash started with the banksters. And it started with the people that we owe the money to. And the ripple effect is all the way down to you now. And there are people now that cannot get a job, lost their homes and can't pay their bills, and they played by all the rules. They worked hard. They went to their jobs every day. Now they've lost their jobs. They've lost their homes. Why? If you knew all the facts, you'd grab your gun and be ready to go to war. They raped the American people. They gave them a bailout bonus from your taxpayer money. They turned around and paid millions of dollars of bonuses to the very people who were instrumental in destroying the American economy. That ought to make you mad. Somewhere along the line, you ought to rise up and say, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican, either one. Get rid of the whole stinking swamp. Clean them out of there. Amen. And go to the polls this 2012 and walk in there and say, I'm sick and tired of this mess. Donald Trump. And listen, friend, this is no endorsement of Donald Trump tonight. But Donald Trump has stood up and begun to say things that rung a bell with the American people. He began to say things, and I don't know, it's because I guess he's a loose cannon. He doesn't belong to either side. He's not really part of the political establishment. He's a businessman, just says it the way he sees it. Now, Donald Trump's got a filthy mouth. And I don't know if you know that or not. This is why I'm saying this is not an endorsement of Donald Trump. But he has a good perspective. He said, now, wait a minute. If you go into a nation and you spend $1 trillion to free that nation, the oil ought to belong to you. They can pay you back for all the money you spent to free them. Oh, they went crazy. My goodness, could you do something like that? Yeah. Yeah. How many of you think that's fair? You can't put a price tag on American blood. All the guys, the men and the women to go over there and shed their blood and die on that battle, stinking battlefield. You can't put a price tag on that. But you go over there and hand them these oil reserves, they can pay you back. And of course, when Donald Trump said that, oh, he stirred up a nest. Here's the bottom line, folks. The political establishment is corrupt and rotten to the core, both sides. I got no use for Republican or Democrat, either one. I'm an independent. I'm a Whig. Here's another thing to look for, and this, my friend, is so important. Please hear me. May the 14th of this month, 1948, Israel became a sovereign nation. David Ben-Gurion stood up and read the declaration that Israel was now a sovereign nation. May the 14th, 1948. That's 13 days. This is the first day of May. Somebody reminded me outside a moment ago that we're that close to their birthday, 14th of May. And all the world has turned against them. Yeah. The Bible says that they'll turn against the Jews. That's what's happening. I'm just 64 years old. But I have watched in the last few years the sentiment of the world as it has become pro-Arab and pro-Muslim and anti-Israel. Yeah. Would you check out and see how many churches are in Saudi Arabia? Next time you're down in Egypt, see if you can find a church on the street corner in Cairo. Check out Libya and check out Tunisia and check out Bahrain and check out Syria and check out Lebanon. Check these Arab nations out and find out how many Christians you find over there. Whoever, whatever Christian you find, they're going to be in hiding. They're going to be in secret because these Arab nations don't have it. Once Islam becomes the power, it's the power, the only power. If you don't know that, don't get mad. You're ignorant. Once Islam becomes dominant, there's only one faith from that moment on. This is why the New World Order has created turmoil and chaos in the Arab world so that they can destroy the old Arab ruling class and they can control the new Arab ruling class. I've said to you time and time again, they got to do something with the Muslims. In order for the New World Order to bring about their man on the scene, they got to do something with the Muslims. They're doing it right now, folks. They're doing it at this very minute. Then the non-existent church. It's non-existent. It has stained glass windows. It has crosses, steeples, and that's all it's got. And it's full of sheeple. Do you know what a sheeple is? The sheeple have steeples on their buildings and stained glass windows. And they're religious on Sunday, and there's no difference between them and the rest of the world the rest of the week. And as far as a force, as far as a moral force, a force with direction, something to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, they don't exist. Only a small handful are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only a small. Now let's not say this again. The Bible says he will appear the second time without sin unto salvation for those that look for his appearing. Don't fly that off. Don't just pass that off too quickly. He will appear the second time without sin unto salvation for those that look for his appearing. Watch, that Bible says. Look, wait, be ready and looking for his appearing. I believe that's one of the sure signs of the way the Holy Spirit separates the true Christian from just the professing Christian. For that one who is truly born again, for that one that's not. Because if you are truly saved tonight, you have no hope in this world. You're going around looking up all the time. You're saying to yourself, when's this going to end? How much longer do we need to go? What else needs to happen? The Lord Jesus Christ needs to come back. He's going to come back. And I'm going to tell you what he's coming back for. Two main reasons. He's coming back for his bride. And then he's coming back with a sword drawn for Israel. They are the ancient people. They're the apple of his eye. They're the ones that the oracles of God were given to. Don't ever turn your back on the Jews. Never turn your back on Israel. Remember that they are there as a fulfillment of prophecy. These are God's chosen people. As much as that's hated in the world, they despise that terminology. It is a fact nonetheless. And the fact that they are there, 150 years ago, the post and amillennialist had wiped Israel from the face of the earth, said the church had replaced Israel. There never would be another Jewish nation. That's just a bunch of blah, 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 that the church is now Israel and all of that. And Ethelbert Bullinger, most of you never heard of him. Or men like M.R. DeHaan, who followed him, were premillennialists. And C.I. Schofield, men like that, said long time ago, get ready. There will be a nation born. And it will be the nation of Israel. And it will be in the land of Israel. And God, when he comes back, will come back to those Jews in Israel. And it happens exactly as they said it would. While the world scorned them and while the church scorned them, it came to pass exactly as they said. And then finally, the weather. The weather. The weather. Remember that you read in your Bible that there shall be, verse 25 in Luke 21, there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, upon the earth, distress of nations, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. It is a fact that the magnetic pole has moved at least 5 degrees. Possibly more, but at least 5. You say, well, now that is a cyclical shift. Not in 6 months, it's not. This time when it moved within 6 months. They have no precedence for that in the past. Quickly, the magnetic North Pole shifted. There's a lot of theories as to the makeup of this earth, having to do with the mantle, which is the center, the crust which we're standing on, that which is underneath the crust, all kinds of theories. Some of them can get real wild. But the bottom line is that the magnetic poles have a definite effect on planet Earth. I haven't heard anybody say, in relationship to these horrible tornadoes and tsunamis and all the rest of this stuff that's been hitting this world, I've heard none of them mention the shift of the magnetic pole. Whether that has anything to do with it or not, I can't say that tonight. I can't say that. But I heard a man the other night who was a chief meteorologist, and he was being interviewed on one of these news talk shows. He was asked specifically about the tornadoes that went through Alabama and Mississippi and Kentucky and Tennessee and killed so many people. This tornado that came up through Alabama, they say, was a mile wide, almost a mile or a mile, something of that, and that this thing stayed on the ground for mile after mile after mile after mile, that you can take a satellite view and you can see a path cut right straight across Tuscaloosa, Alabama, just straight as an arrow practically, where this thing came down. It brought destruction. It brought death, folks. Horrible suffering. And at this moment right now in Alabama, people are still probably looking for loved ones and searching through the rubble to try to find their loved ones. I'd hate to be looking for a wife or a son or a mother, a father. That's horrible. Folks, that's terror. But this meteorologist was asked, well, is global warming to blame for this outbreak of tornadoes? Hundreds of tornadoes. Unprecedented. Is global warming to blame? He said, absolutely not. Global warming has nothing to do with this. And then he went into some scientific explanation, all that the meteorologist would go into. It's obvious that he knew what he was talking about. But the next day, the very next day, on a more liberal talk show, another meteorologist was being questioned as it relates to the tornadoes and all this other stuff. And they said, posed the same question. Is this related to global warming? Oh, yes, absolutely. Global warming is the reason for this. Absolutely. No question about it. Global warming. You see, the bottom line is that they had a political agenda to push global warming. There's a political agenda behind global warming, folks. And the political agenda is not national, it's international. The agenda behind global warming has to do with the New World Order's push for control of the entire planet. So this meteorologist says, no. He said, absolutely not. He said, he went into his explanation of it and gave the reasons why. Here's the bottom line. This nation has not known the kind of tornadoes that are hitting it, and the succession of these tornadoes, the size of these tornadoes, the number of people that have been dying since the Great Depression. Now put two and two together. This nation has never gone through a financial collapse like it has since the Great Depression. This nation has never had its weather affected like it has since the Great Depression. There's something going on that's a whole lot bigger than you or me. You say, where are these tornadoes coming from? I don't know where they're coming from, but I know they're coming. I'm a pragmatist. I deal with reality whether I agree with it or not. Something is going on. Somebody said it's the judgment of God. Well, I wouldn't be so quick to say it's the judgment of God. I'll leave God to the judgment. If it's God's judgment, He'll let you know. He'll let you know. It could be. Who knows? But I do know this. I do know that something is happening on this earth. Why did that pole shift 5 degrees? Why are we on the verge of a world war? Why has the financial system of America on the verge of collapse? Why is it that dollar bill in your pocket right now will almost be worthless if the dollar bill dies? And some are saying that it will die in 2012. And why is the whole world arrayed against Israel? Why all of these things are coming converging together at the same time? That's what to look for with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that they happen, it's that they begin to happen at the same time. They're converging. All of these things are coming together, folks. Don't want to blow it out of proportion. I've been around a while. I have never in my lifetime seen anything that would come up to what we've been seeing just in the last few days. The other night I was watching a meteorologist here in town, and he was showing these storms as they were coming right up, one right after another, right up out of Alabama. And he said, and then they would report, they said, we have seen a twisting in Oak Ridge. There has been a twisting in Powell. And I began to pray. I said, Lord God, protect us. Protect us. I called on his name because I didn't know that a tornado was going about to set itself right down on top of my house. And folks, you see what happens when one hits. They say this tornado that hit Alabama was a CF4, is that what they call it? With winds up to 200 miles an hour. Why, folks, that just tore it to just a bunch of splinters out there on the grounds, all that's left. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. That's what's coming upon the earth. It's coming, folks. It's coming. Payday is over. Payday is on its way. We're going up. When you see these things happen, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. I don't believe in just hyping something for the sake of hyping it. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I got no use for that. I got no use for somebody just hype something to get a crowd. But there's just too much. There's too much going on for me to ignore and overlook. There's too much happening. Too much. Too much. Too much. Too much. Get ready. Amen. We're going to be the generation, by the grace of God, that gets raptured out of here. Amen. Think of all of the saints that lived before you that never were raptured. And you could be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, you know what that does for me tonight? I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. Right now, I'm serious as a heart attack. If you want to hang around here a while, you better not hand the button to me. Because we won't be hanging around. We won't even see the sun down tonight. If it's left up to me, I'd push the button. We'd go. Are you ready to go? Are you ready? Hallelujah. It's been a long time, preacher. 2,000 years. They've been promised it's coming, and we're still here. I know it's been 2,000 years. It's been a long time. Can't imagine how many people have lived, looked for his coming, and then went on to be with the Lord. I can't imagine. That's foolishness to try to imagine. But there will be a generation that is the last one. He came the first time. He'll come the second time. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. The one who saved you said, I will come again. To receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Apostle John, when he saw all of that through the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, as he finished the book, he said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Every true believer will say that. Who wouldn't want to swap tonight a dying body for a glorified body? Who wouldn't want to swap tonight a land smitten with sin and death and sorrow for a land where there is no death and sorrow and dying? Who tonight would not want to swap a place of darkness, unrighteousness, all the hell you'll ever know, for a land where the sun never sets? Light and glory and grace and peace in his presence forevermore. In the name of Jesus, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come. Thy name we pray, Holy One. Bless your word now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. Amen. Even so come. Yes, ma'am.
I was in Green County the day before yesterday, and I talked to a Red Cross worker. She said 70 people still missing.
Well, I'm glad you told us that. If you didn't hear what our sister said, she was in Green County. Tornado touched down in Green County. And the Red Cross worker told her that 70 people are still missing in Green County, Greenville, East Tennessee, and they may never find them. So the death count may go much higher than, what is it, about 6 or 7 or whatever, right now the official death count. It may well go into 80 in Green County. God's been good to me, folks. What have we got, brother?
Page 401 in the All-American.
401.
Thank you.
I'd like to get a hold of Benjamin Netanyahu and tell him, you're not alone. There's a bunch of Christians out there that's going to support you. They're going to support you. But they know that. They know that. They know that Bible-believing Christians are their greatest support. Always have been, always will be. Sing another verse, baby.
Lord Jesus,
I'm not in the Marine Corps, because if a captain told me to fire on that flag of David, I'd be hard-pressed to obey that order. Hard-pressed. Be firing on that flag of David, firing against Jerusalem. Not me. This lady wants to be anointed with oil, folks. Y'all be seated. Anybody like to come up here at the front?